She's a public health specialist who studies the social determinants of health, health behaviors, and violence against women, with a special focus on minority populations and socially marginalized groups. Actually, in the interest of time.
Thank you.
Do you like to come sit here? Because there are two chairs here. Because I think you are standing for a long time, so. My talk is going to focus on the developing of a framework for understanding the pathways and trajectories of housing instability and poor health among women experiencing intimate partner violence. This study actually was one of the studies that I did when I was doing my postdoctorate in the Center of Research on Inner City Health in Toronto, Canada. I'm currently actually a researcher in the Department of Public Health in Ben-Gurion University, but I continue doing this collaboration with CRICH in Toronto. So this specific paper is in collaboration with other researchers, Flora Matheson, Cheryl Peterson, and Sarah Hamilton, and Anita Min, and Janice Yu, and of course Professor Patricia Ocampo, who was also the PI on this study. So this study actually is one in a bigger study that is focused on the intimate partner violence in the Center of Research on Inner City Health, and it aims at dedicating to improve the knowledge about determinants and solutions to intimate partner violence, and it includes a multidisciplinary team of epidemiologists, sociologists, and also psychologists, public health experts, and also service providers. I don't have maybe to mention this, but it is important to emphasize this again and again, that violence against women is a global public health problem that, you know, women face. One woman in four women actually will experience violence during her lifetime. In Canada, at any given day, there are about 3,000 women living in an emergency shelter to escape violence. And about two-thirds of the Canadians, reported that they personally know someone who is sexually abused or physically abused a woman. Now, intimate partner violence refers to the type of violence, that is perpetrated by the woman's current or former partner, and it can be physical or emotional or sexual or economic violence. About 38% of the all homicides against women were perpetrated by actually their intimate partner. And on average, every 6 days, a woman in Canada is killed by her intimate partner. In 2009, 67 women were murdered by their spouse or former boyfriend. We know that intimate partner violence affects the women's health. There are many studies, and now we have also longitudinal studies that show that intimate partner violence increased the physical impairment and mental health problems among women. Also, it is associated with high post-trauma and stress disorder, depression, and anxiety. Intimate partner violence also is associated with highly housing instability. Women actually who are victims of violence, they face more homelessness. They are more evicted from their homes. Many times they lose their roof, their house, when they are victims of violence. And many times they have to leave their house because of the violence, so they leave their work, they leave their schooling, and many times also they leave their social networks, and so they live in a different place, and many times also they become financially dependent on others because of the problem of housing. Many times they stay with the perpetrator because they don't find any housing solution. And this is very problematic. So some countries actually develop policies in order to give the women any solution for housing, and this is different in different countries as well. So the because you know the house, the research on IPV show that there IPV intimate partner violence is associated with high with poor health, and it is also associated with housing instability. This actually suggests that maybe housing instability might be directly or indirectly affecting the woman's health through complex maybe pathways because of what I said before. So, but you know, few studies actually studied the pathways and trajectories that link housing instability to health. And this was actually the focus of this study. Now, what do we mean by housing instability? There are different definitions of housing instability in the literature. One is defined housing instability as inability to maintain a place of residence due to multiple ongoing personal and economic difficulties. Another definition is difficulty maintaining housing or paying mortgages or paying bills or evictions, a frequent mobility and living in crowded conditions or family or friends. Now, housing instability is not the opposite of stability. Housing stability is different, and it refers to two types of housing stability. One is more physical and one more psychological. So the physical housing stability refers to the structural characteristics of housing, like availability of the housing, accessibility, affordability of housing, building-related features such as mold, dampness, heat, levels of crowding, and building and maintenance. The psychological housing instability, it's about more a feeling sense of security of your home and feeling control and feeling comfort and satisfaction and home pride. So this is what the housing literature tell us about, you know, what does it mean, you know, housing stability. Now, housing stability was associated also in the different studies with improved health. So if you have a good physical housing stability and mental housing stability, your health would be better. Okay, so this is something that we know from the housing and health literature and also from the housing literature. So the aim of this specific study was to better understand the interconnectedness between IPV, intimate partner violence, housing and health among low-income women in Ontario, Canada. And we use for this purpose the grounded theory, because when we started this project, we didn't find any studies that actually looked at the pathways between housing instability and health among women. This is really strange, but this is what we found in the literature. But after we started, we found some papers that, you know, maybe one or two that I will mention also later. So the method that we used is qualitative. We conducted in-depth interviews with 41 women. This was in 2010 and 11. Women were residing in different geographic settings in Ontario, Canada. And the length of each interview was about 1 hour and a half. The women's age was 25 to 60. They were all English speaking. And they experienced violence in the previous 5 years, and they were residing in one of these types of housing, either social housing, transitional housing, or market housing. And recruitment of women was through the women's organizations and also a housing organization, social housing organization. So we distributed these leaflets, and women will call the team and they will ask to participate in the study. If they actually answer the eligibility criteria, they will be interviewed in the study. So for this presentation, I'm focusing only on one question. Of course, the interview included more questions, and actually we already published some of the results of this study in different journals, but this specific paper will be published in Women and Health in January 2016. This is what we will talk about after 1 year or more of the process of submission and everything. So the main question here was, in thinking of periods of your adult life when you were in a stable housing, what was your health like at that time? And we didn't provide the women with the definition of housing stability. So we wanted them actually to say this according to their, you know, attitudes or understanding and perspectives. Data analysis was, as I said, based on the grounded theory. So we did first open coding and then we did focus coding. And the agreement on the themes was done by consensus among the team. But we were used also in vivo in after we get to the first codes. Now, what were the main findings? I have to say that the main findings were published first in a report that was that you can find actually in the website of CREG. It's called The Impact of Partner Violence on Women's Housing Stability, Health and Well-Being, and there are some highlights about this. But the main findings were that violence is a chronic problem and women have to manage the effects of it on their lives. This was main finding. Women experience violence have unique health concerns and needs. They have mental health problems such as depression and anxiety, PTSD, physical problems and broken bones and disabilities sometimes that are related to the IPV. So this was mentioned by all, the health problems were mentioned by all the women in the study. Actually, depression was something that was common. No woman in the study said that she didn't suffer depression at some time of her life that was related, according to what they told us, to their exposure to IPV. Many women also were responsible by when we interviewed them of caring of children. They had children and they sometimes were sole caregivers, many of them. They also have economic difficulties, and many of them also lost their employment as an outcome of being exposed to IPV, and some of them also lost their social networks. Now, we also learned from this study that the issue of housing instability will be different at different periods according to the time of residing with the abuser. So, when the women were residing with the abuser or with the perpetrator, they will have actually sometimes a physical housing stability. However, they will suffer from psychological housing instability. So this is the difference. But when they leave immediately the perpetrator, so immediately they lose their house, so they become homeless and they have to find a housing solution. And at this time, it's very critical for them because they have also the psychological housing instability and also the physical housing instability. After a longer period, when they find, you know, the solution for their housing, so then they will start to regain their physical housing stability first, and then the psychological housing stability. So they will feel more control, more, you know, self-esteem. They will come back to their trying to recover from all this experience. So this is different. What we found it different for the different periods, and then we came to this that looks a little complicated, a framework to explain the association between intimate partner violence and housing instability and health. So what you see here, that some of the women actually said, "Housing IPV affected directly my health," without talking about the housing instability. So something like, housing directly corresponds in my life, and it has been up and down. Like if I'm in a good space, then health is good, and if not, I'm not in a good situation, my health is a kind of, So there is this direct association between IPV and health that is can, you know, go also directly through housing, but also Some women talked about the physical housing instability. They mentioned homelessness, high mobility, evictions, and inability to pay the rent, running and hiding, and land discrimination. So all of these themes were under, for us, under the physical housing instability. And, you know, one of the women said, when you are not able to pay the rent, your housing situation always is unstable because you don't know when you are going to get evicted or not, right? if your income doesn't match up to your living needs, you are never stable because you are consistently worried, which means your health goes down, which means that lots of things go down. So this is very strong. And for the psychological health instability, what we heard from women, they were talk about, you know, feeling unsafe, no peace, decreasing the self-esteem and their self-confidence, and they felt losing control. And they also talked about child abuse as part of this housing and psychological instability. So one of the women talked, even when we were in our house and our home was stable financially and physically, there was still no physical abuse, but there was always verbal and mental abuse. Of course, I didn't know that then that this was verbal or mental abuse. When you get wrapped in the cycle of it, you don't realize it, and you become very down on yourself. You have no self-esteem. You feel like you don't. You feel like you are not good enough. And for the social trajectories, women talked about the financial difficulties, losing their job, losing their school, decreasing income, and losing their social networks. And one woman said, our food supply was already low because we weren't working and we had no money. So a lot of time I wouldn't eat. I would starve. The depression was so bad. I wouldn't even get out of bed. I just felt like really down. Negative thoughts all the time, crying, depressed a lot, all the time. I wouldn't talk to anybody. He would isolate me and take off with the car. And he would leave me there, and so I already felt isolated. So all of these trajectories actually contributed to high stress among these women, and also also poor self-care. So women will neglect their health, they will neglect appointments to physicians, they will neglect anything that is related to care, and some of them will start also with substances abuse. They will go drink alcohol or use drugs or something that they can help them to adapt or to cope with this situation. So one woman said, it was stressful having migraines all the time. I'm a kind of person that only very rarely I get sick with the cold, and I consistently getting sick with I was consistently getting sick with that. I felt like my immune system was just going down, plus I was overeating. I had low self-esteem, where I felt that I couldn't accomplish anything, and I felt like the whole world was against me, but it wasn't. It was very difficult for me to ask for help. So this was, you know, something about what the women felt at that time. Now, actually finding a housing solution was something that helped the women to improve their health. This was the good thing about it, okay? It's difficult to see all this without, you know, something that can help the women. So finding housing solution for some women that were living in social housing or market housing helped them to improve their health. And some of what the women told us was, I mean, just moving into a better place, I feel physically and more healthy, definitely. It was much better because I was able to care for myself and I didn't have to worry about going from one place to another. It was totally empowering. So these were the things that women told us. But this was not immediately after the woman moved. It takes time, you know, for the woman to recover. And some women actually, according to the literature, don't recover from IPV. It is there, the post-trauma is there, but it takes them time, you know, to recover. So housing would be one step, but these women will need more things in order to really recover from this. So housing stability improves the women's well-being, and, you know, I will jump to the conclusions. Housing affects the women's health through complex pathways. This is what we saw in this framework. These women have complex needs. The financial, they need financial support, they need childcare, they need safety, employment support, schooling and education, and access to psychological counseling. So providing only housing, you know, through the housing, social housing policies, maybe will not give the answer to these women. And we need actually to provide these women with more support. So And so housing is important, but it must and it must provide the material and psychological stability to these women. And this situation actually required mere services support to help rebuild their lives, to recover from trauma and co-occurring of economic, social and health challenges. So services that are coordinated and staffed by a knowing and caring providers can best meet the needs of women living in with IPV and with its and deal with its consequences. So the key message is here that housing instability is not possible when living with IPV. It's very difficult because these women don't have actually the psychological housing stability. Even they have the physical housing stability. They have a house, but it's not stable. Meal support services are necessary to help women stay safe and recover their lives because, you know, and I should say that this has to be coming from different service providers, not only from the housing. This could be also for education and for the social and for also psychological support. So thank you so much for that.